Hey, listeners, we're nearing the end of our 15th anniversary fundraising campaign, and we need your help to meet our goal. This campaign offers you a chance to win a unique food and music experience in one of the most exciting cities in America. Here's how it works. Donate to HRN and you'll be entered to win dinner for two and two tickets to a concert in one of eight amazing cities: New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Nashville, Las Vegas, Charleston, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and Asheville. All donations support our work educating food system storytellers. And when you donate, you can choose one of those cities and you'll be entered to win dinner and two tickets to a show. So help us reach our goal and enter to win dinner and a show in the city of your choice. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15. Thank you.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org. Welcome to Heritage Radio Network on Tour. I'm Dylan Boyer, reporting from Torino, Italy, where I'm a delegate at Terra Madre Salon del Gusto, the largest international event dedicated to good, clean, and fair food, hosted by Slow Food. More than 3,000 people, including farmers, cooks, and food activists from 150 countries, have gathered to discuss the politics of what we eat. I am excited to be sitting down with Beatrice Wigi, the founder and president of Gustiamo, which she started more than 20 years ago in the Bronx, with the goal of introducing New Yorkers to real Italian food. Welcome.
Ciao, Dylan. How are you?
Good, thank you. So, you wanted to introduce New Yorkers to real Italian food. I was a little bit surprised to learn that, given that the Bronx is known for its Little Italy on Arthur Avenue. And I'd love to hear what you think was missing to New York and what is real Italian food to you?
Yes, real Italian food to me, first of all, is food made in Italy, which you might be surprised to hear, but even products of Italy, written on the labels of products in the supermarkets, are not made in Italy. In particular, for example, there is an Italian extra virgin olive oil, that may have a product of Italy on the label, but the only thing that they need to do in order to be called Italian, product of Italy, it is that it is bottled, the liquid is bottled in Italy. Therefore, I mean, it can come from anywhere in the world. And to me, it's a real terrible thing that happens to the Italian farmers and Italian economy, the Italian cultures and traditions. So this is what we are set up to do. We try to tell the truth. We try to import the best foods made in Italy, respecting their, again, culture, tradition, biodiversity that our land can give. What do I do? So I import Italian foods in the United States, selecting them, the foods, very carefully from farmers all over the Italian peninsula and the islands.
And what was the reception like early on, and has it changed over time?
The reception very early on was interested, but difficult to have, meaning that we spent a very few, some years to have an interested audience of any importance that was able, interested to hear what we had to say and to taste the products that we had to propose, because we started with products, basic products like extra virgin olive oil, pasta, canned tomatoes, and then we expanded in vinegars, rice, pine nuts, hazelnuts from, again, very specific places in Italy. Receptions at the beginning was difficult. I mean, it was difficult to find. I mean, that, but once the American public started to trust us and to understand what we were doing, they are more and more interested in learning. And it's a it has been a wonderful journey from obscurity 22 years ago, more than 20 years ago, as you were saying before, to now. A wonderful journey, like in higher and higher level of attention in the United States for what we do.
And how did you convince people early on, whether it was American consumers or Italian makers? How did you convince them to get on board with what you were doing?
Well, the Italian makers are very proud to be properly represented, in my case, in the United States. The Italian makers are farmers, small producers, whose objective is not to sell tons of foods and make tons of profits, euro profits. Their objective is to continue their tradition, to spread the word of how complicated their job is. Therefore, we represent them 100% in the United States, meaning that we take care of their branding, or their personality, of their we think we can replicate their narrative, we can speak their voices. Because we know them very well. We know their families, we know where they work, where they live, the products they make. And on the other side, the American side, is the importance of what we do. So the reception is also extremely warm and respectful, meaning that we are not treated like a normal distributor, quote, distributor. We are viewed as their shortcut to Italy, and therefore they ask chefs. I'm talking about chefs, or the general public that buys our products on our website, gustiamo.com, because we sell in the United States on the website gustiamo.com. Actually, we started 22 years ago with the website. And we sell to restaurants in the United States. So we cover the whole country.
That's amazing. And you came to New York with a corporate job. And then how did you decide to take a leap into the food world?
Well, honestly, it was kind of casual. I was not a food person 22 years ago when I started Gustiamo. I think that helped me, because I started to study the object of food, Italian food, like as an adult, and like without being resigned to you know, this is the way things are done. The olive oil, the Italian olive oil is bad. It's fake. Therefore, everybody knows it, and there is nothing to do about it. So I was an adult when I started to learn that real extra virgin olive oil, the liquid that is good for you, real extra virgin olive oil is just a fruit juice, an olive fruit juice. And anything else is not good for you and not good for the planet, because it's made with the chemical solvents. And it's not even good for you, because it's just a fat, while extra virgin olive oil is a vegetable fat, but it's very good because it has vitamins and minerals and antioxidants, and you live longer. You really do. It's a healthy food.
What area of Italy did you grow up in, and what was the food like in your childhood?
So again, my experience was not what you would imagine in the story. That my experience was that my mother was a great cook from Naples, Neapolitan family for generations, and she was a wonderful cook. But she would cook for friends, parties. My parents were very social. So she would entertain her friends, and we would. I grew up with singles, so I really learned about good food and the tradition and what it means when I grew up, when I started this company Gustiamo 22 years ago. And going back to...
So it was really later. It's just interesting how it was later in life, leaving Italy, it kind of took that for you to discover what you love so much about Italian food.
It's a real passion.
Yeah.
It's a real passion. You know that I was an accountant before, and now, I mean, my previous experience, professional experience, really helps me. Because when we... acquire new producers or we evaluate producers, we really do a due diligence about, in our terms, clear, not for profit and not
And Gustiamo sells directly to consumers, like you said, in addition to restaurants. Was this a big disruption to the importing business when you started?
Well, I think it is still a big disruption because what we do is really unique because we import directly from the producers and we sell directly to the final chefs. We do not have intermediaries. We don't have agents in Italy or in the United States. And we have a direct relationship with the chef or wherever they are. With the general public, wherever they are, we pick up the phone, we answer the questions, we have a constant relationship with all of them here in the United States, but also in Italy. We talk to our producers directly every single day with Zoom. We are in constant contact, and we come here to Italy continuously. So I come at least 4 times a year, and we come and meet and go specifically to meet producers wherever they are, in Sicily, in Friuli Venezia Giulia.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about how long you spend here on your trips and how you get introduced to new producers.
Yes, it's always a very interesting process. It depends. It's whether there are suggestions from people who we trust, whether we meet them at Salone del Gusto Terra Madre here, as we are meeting you with you, Dylan. Now we have other annual appointments in Italy that we would never miss. Like there is also another food festival in Florence called Taste that I love and never missed for the last 12 years. So it's a series of different...
What are some of the questions you might ask a new producer to get to know them and get to know their story? What do you want to know about them when you meet them?
I want to know that they are true. I want to know that... A very long story. I mean, for example, our pasta that we carry, one of the pasta that we carry, a lovely family in the Gragnano town near Naples called Faella Pasta. The Faella Pasta took me 4 years to choose that pasta maker. Took 4 years, I mean, I'm not here, like sleeping years. I was really active because the more people are doing a specific product, like pasta in Italy, everybody makes pasta, the more they are, the more difficult it is to choose the right one. So,
and do you try to limit the number of one type of product that you sell on Gustiamo?
I'm sorry, say again.
Do you try to limit the number of each type of product?
Yes, I would love to. add more and more olive oil producers, pasta producers, but I can't. I mean, it's a comp, it's a business. We have to make sure that we do not jeopardize other existing producer or producers of ours. So we have to be seriously involved in our expansion plans, with our expansion plans, what we can afford, our marketing skills, communicating skills. I mean, the warehouse, so we are looking to find a bigger warehouse because now we are limited by space. Again, when we talk about unique company, all our products that we import are in our warehouse. So they are not third parties' warehouses. No, we have total control from the producers to the products that arrive in the United States to the market.
And it really is amazing to hear that it took 4 years to pick your favorite pasta. Can you tell us a little bit more about the journey to find that favorite pasta over 4 years? Paint a picture for us of tasting different pastas,
so,
traveling.
Pasta, as I said before, pasta is made everywhere in the United States. I mean, from Piedmont to Trentino to Sicily, I mean, everywhere. And so it was a journey of talking to our trusted food people here in the United States. Here in Italy, and then following making a selection of a few, following their stories of these producers wherever they are, and then at one point something clicks, you have the inspiration, you really say, after a long study and learning experience and meeting with them continuously and talking to them, how much are they available, how much they use Italian wheats, let's go to the mill that sells the pasta maker the flour, is it true that they, so it's really a due diligence at mine previous professional experience really helped, because we are really we don't leave anything to, you know, perhaps it is true, perhaps it's not true. No, we have to make sure it is true, and then you go to the place. I mean, again, we are talking with Faella about Faella pasta. Faella went very often, so they are located in the main square of this little village, all devoted to pasta makers. They are the oldest artisanal pasta maker in this village. It is called La Città della Pasta, the town of pasta, because everybody makes pasta. And used to make pasta when in antiquity. And then it clicks. I mean, you meet the family, you see that there is a future also, because that's also important, because there are several producers who have no succession. I mean, we try to inspire their kids, their collaborators, their employers. I mean, we host the family in the United States to make them aware how important they are for the American market. So we try to network and to get everybody involved in this process of amazing journey.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I was going to say earlier, you must have an incredible palate and incredible taste for these fine foods. But it's really so much more than that.
Exactly.
It's
so in depth. I have no palate.
I don't believe that.
I don't.
So in addition to the pasta, if you had to pick one food sold by Gustiamo that you can't get enough of right now or that you're really excited about right now, what is it? And can you tell us the story behind it?
We have been a big promoters of, uh, as I, I talk about extra virgin olive oil a lot. I talk about extra virgin olive oil as it should be a fruit juice. I can't have it enough, and I want everybody in the United States learn what a difference it is between, like, for example, now we are bringing a small group of chefs, of American chefs, in Italy, in Umbria, to pick the olives and make the olive oil in the middle of our family, Gaudenzi family. We import a lot of extra virgin olive oil, and again, it's a product that I think we should all we import a lot of extra virgin olive oil, and everybody should use this olive oil as a healthy food and delicious food. To finish your recipes or to cook with it.
So here we are at Terra Madre. You've just arrived today, is that correct? And I mean, what have you seen so far? Can you describe some of the market? And there's so many makers here. Can you just paint a picture for the listeners?
I try to come to Terra Madre every, I think I missed, you know, it's a biannual event in the town of Torino. Lovely town, lovely event. Carlin Petrini started this tradition of every 2 years Terra Madre, Salone del Gusto. It's a must. You must be here. If you are into good food, you must come. It's a 5 days event, and it's extremely crowded. I mean, I'm sure that you can hear the noise of all the people around us. It's extremely crowded, and it has small producers, farmers. I love Terra Madre because it connects you with the good food people around the world. I don't have much time. I mean, I'm still concentrated in learning the Italian producers and farmers who are here with their products, and the producers and farmers, they have little booths, and it's a market. It's a farmers market. You can actually buy the cheeses, the salamis, the mozzarellas, the tomatoes that you go around and visit, the vinegars, the olive oils. So it's a kind of chaotic festival with talks, lovely people. I just talked to a baker who is from Bologna. We heard him talk about how the baking is, I mean, making bread is an agricultural fact, event, and I mean, it all depends on how you treat your ingredients and your land and your employee and your workers. So it's a chaotic place, but you learn tons, and there are farmers here, like, they want to talk to you, and they want to, I have the little farmer from, I just met, and I'm going back now after we finish, his name is Pasquale Imperato. He has a little farm at the slopes of Mount Vesuvio. And he proudly grows the specific cultivar of tomatoes called Pienolo tomatoes. Pienolo tomatoes are Pienolo, like, they are round, small, with a little point at the end, with a very thick skin. The cultivar is a DOP, meaning that only that can be called Pienolo tomatoes. And they have a wonderful taste of sweet and acidic. That is, I mean, it's that tomato that you cook for 5 minutes, and it's fantastic. So, and it only grows on the slopes of Mount Vesuvio. And so this man comes here and spends 5 days, I mean, hard work being seen, and he is an incredible communicator of this wonderful cultivar of tomatoes.
Thank you so much. There's so much to look forward to and to eat here. Anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
And to eat here and share, you know, just go around with your mouth, with your open, with open eyes, and try to talk to the people and taste this wonderful food. And everybody has a different story, and everybody is worth of listening and learning from them. It's a very hard work and needs to be respected, compensated, communicated, and we need to make sure that we promote the good businesses and the good families and stories.
Absolutely. And one thing I've just been so impressed by walking around, everything tastes great, but when you talk to people there, they tell you their family's been doing this for five generations. So the legacy is just incredible, and the heritage and the stories behind that as well.
And we as Italians have a duty, a very important duty, which is now going to be expressed tomorrow. Tomorrow we have our 25th of September election day in Italy, very important. The duty that we have, and I really feel strongly more and more the more I do this job, the duty that we have is to preserve this land. If we do not support these farmers, these small producers, these good people, they will abandon the land. The land will be destroyed by fires, being abandoned, not taken care of. We, as Italians, we should be more proud of what we have been, and I mean, as you can see, and everybody took, we take it for granted, the beautiful landscape that we have everywhere, and the beautiful people who take care of this landscape. If we do not promote the good people who take care of the landscape, we will be just a desertic barbarian land that nobody would want to come to anymore, because we have nothing to offer anymore.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk. I'm sure all of the makers that you work with are so appreciative of your investment and your defense and love and passion for what they do and to bringing it to new audiences. So thank you for everyone for listening. Listen to more of Heritage Radio Network on Tour's coverage of Terra Madre and other food events around the globe, wherever you get your podcasts. A big thank you to Slow Food and the Italian Trade Agency for hosting me here at Terra Madre. It's been great to sit here in the heart of the market and talk about these makers. Heritage Radio Network on Tour is a production of Heritage Radio Network, the world's pioneer food radio station. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org and follow us at heritage_radio.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe. HRN On Tour is powered by Simplecast. This episode of HRN On Tour was produced in part by generous funding from the Julia Child Foundation.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love
watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.